Well, good morning. It's great to be before you this morning and declare the word of the Lord. I love the scriptures because I love constancy. I don't deal with change too much. And God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've already had several persons pray, so we're just going to go and jump straight into the word. When's the shower starts? When? 12:30? We should be done by then. Oh, we got a board meeting also. Okay. The topic for today is strength. In weakness, strength in weakness, and our scripture comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll just lift up four verses there from 7 through 10. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'll read that same passage from the Good News Version. But to keep me from being puffed up with pride, because of the many wonderful things I saw, I was given a painful physical ailment, which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me and keep me from being proud. I like that. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need. For my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Most, if not all of us, have probably read this scripture before at some point during our walk or heard it quoted in some form or another, listened to a sermon, a song. And so it hopefully is not a strange one to us. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth and revealing some rather personal details about his life and ministry. Our passage for today begins after we didn't read the beginning of the chapter, but he had been given an account about some truths that had been supernaturally revealed to him. He even made a statement that if he decided to boast about those, he would have been right to do so. And so our passage of this says, but to keep me from being puffed up. A lot of times, we have to be reminded not to be puffed up. It's easy for us, because of the culture that we live in. Pastor Aaron talked about different gospels. People like to call them gospels. They're different ideas which tend to try to distract us from the one true gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God had other plans for Paul, and so we're reading these words today, and we hope we can take something from it and apply it to our lives. We'll look at a few truths that we can glean this morning. First one is, when God says no, what he's really saying is, I'm enough. We used to tell our kids a lot of the time that no is an answer. We don't like that answer. And sometimes if we've been praying for something and we don't get exactly what we want, we said God has not answered our prayers. That's not true, is it? Because no is an answer. Paul prayed 3 times, the scripture tells us. He wanted to be relieved from whatever this thorn was, whatever God had planted on him or in him or around him to keep him humble and to keep him focused on the Savior. He wanted to be relieved of that pain. He wanted to be relieved of that stress. He wanted to be relieved of that, maybe it was a person. We know that there's some people that can be a literal thorn in the flesh. But he wanted relief. He wanted deliverance from that situation, whatever it was. And he wanted that situation to change. Amen? But he wanted it to change in a way that he thought would be beneficial to him. But God saw it different. He did not remove the thorn. What he did was reveal his grace. Sometimes God does not change the situation because what he really wants to do is he wants to change us in the situation. Amen? And I realize that it's not always easy. But sometimes he doesn't want to move that mountain from in front of you. He wants you to learn to accept it. Sometimes he wants you to climb over it. Sometimes he wants you to go around it. But he has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. So he doesn't always change the situation because he wants to change us in that, whatever that situation is. Amen? Another thing to realize is sometimes we miss the miracle because the real miracle is not taking away the situation, but in empowering us to endure whatever it is until we are changed into what he's trying to mold us and shape us into. Amen? God's no is never a rejection. His no is never a rejection. His no is always shaping up something better for us. Amen? Sometimes it's a redirection. Sometimes he wants us to just look at things differently, to think differently about whatever we're going through. Our natural instinct is to always try to get rid of the problem right now. But that doesn't always serve God's purpose and objective in molding us and shaping us in what he wants us to be. Amen. Sometimes it's for our protection. I would venture to say that most often than not, it's part of our preparation. Amen. You've heard me say this more than once probably. In order to be promoted to another level, there are certain tests that you must take and certain tests that you must pass. Not just participate, actually pass. Amen? So sometimes God is trying to prepare us for maybe an even bigger thorn or an even bigger mountain, an even bigger challenge that's still ahead of us. And we whine and complain about sometimes things that are just minor inconveniences. They don't even rise, in my opinion, to real problems. But he's trying to prepare us for something. God can use anything to our benefit. You can't fix it, but God can use it. It's interesting that the scripture doesn't tell us. Paul never told us what the thorn is in the scripture, and I think that's intentional. A thorn might be a habit that you're trying to break, a weakness that you can't seem to get rid of, a wound, a hurt that you're still, trying to heal from. It could be a limitation that you didn't ask for. You want to do all these things, but you're limited in some way, shape, or form, and is bugging you. But God understands that. Remember, he made us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of us make it easy for him. I'm just coincidentally looking at you. Some of us make it easy for him. But he knows us intimately, better than we know ourselves. It may be a season of life that we may be going through that we didn't ask for, we didn't choose it, we didn't even know it was coming till it just came and overwhelmed us. Or maybe it may just be a struggle that we're dealing with. But whatever it is, God knows. He knows the struggles we go through. He knows the intimate details of our heart. And sometimes he allows these things never to destroy us, never to discourage us, never to cause us to turn our backs on him. It's always for the purpose of molding us and shaping us and strengthening us for what? For his purpose. Not for some grand idea that we have, unless that idea aligns with his purpose for our lives. The thorn is that thing that reminds us that we need God every day. The thorn is that thing that reminds us not to get too full of ourselves. Amen? Thorn is that thing that wakes us up at 3 a.m. or whenever our time is, Pastor Jim's time is 3 a.m. and reminds us that we need to get on our knees and pray. That we need to stay humble and dependent and surrendered to God. So it's there for a purpose. Point three, God's grace is sufficient. Notice that God did not give Paul an explanation. He did not break down why all this was going. So what did he do? He gave him a revelation. And just told him, my grace is sufficient. What comes to mind when we hear the word sufficient? Sufficient is not just barely getting by. Sufficient, when I hear it, it means that you have an abundance. Amen? Grace is not just, we talk about God's unmerited favor. Grace is not only unmerited favor, it's also divine strength. Grace is God doing through us what we cannot do by ourselves. And that's why we need God's grace. All the time. Not only when we're going through stuff. Not only when we get desperate. See, most of us, we only turn to God when we get desperate. As a last resort. Well, I've tried everything on my own. And nothing seems to be working. But God said something, maybe I should try him. You see, we go through stuff that God doesn't even want us to go through. So a lot of this thing isn't even God. We bring it upon ourselves. Let's be real this morning. Amen? We bring some of these thorns upon ourselves. But God's grace is still there. His grace doesn't just save us. His grace sustains us, keeps us going. His grace strengthens us, enables us to continue pressing forward, even when things look impossible. Because his word says with him, what? All things are possible. His grace establishes us and carries us through. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Just hang with me. We're getting somewhere. Point number four, weakness. Our weakness becomes a platform for the manifestation of God's power. It's a mechanism for God's power to be made manifest in our lives. Now, we live in a culture where weakness always has a negative connotation. Amen? Or am I alone on this planet? Weakness generally tends to be a negative thing in the culture in which we live. And so it affects us as believers. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be totally submissive. We want to act like we have some little, even if it's a little measure, we have some little measure of control over the circumstances surrounding our lives. But God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is not made perfect in our accomplishments. His strength is not made perfect in our resume, in our job, in our talent, not even in our confidence. Some of us have a lot of confidence, but God's strength is not made perfect in our confidence. It's made perfect in our what? Our weakness. And here it is. Our weakness is not a liability. Don't listen to the culture around us. Our weakness is not a liability. You see, you hear the word worldview, a biblical, you hear worldview. To the world, weakness is a liability. But if we have a biblical worldview and we see things through the lens of God's word, then his word tells us that that's not true. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So our weakness is not a liability. What is it? It's an opportunity for God's power to work in us, in our lives. Our weakness is not a disqualification. To the contrary, it is an invitation for God to work in us and for his power to be at work in our lives. And a bonus question, well, it's not a question, it's just I'm giving you 2 points for being a good audience. Whenever God wants to work in our lives, it is not always just about us. It is about working through us to be a blessing to his people. Amen? He wants to do something in your life, in my life, but that's not where it ends. Because when our cups get full and run over, that overflow is blessing somebody else. It's blessing our neighbors. It's blessing our family. It's blessing our classmates. It's blessing our home, our family. So he wants to work his power through us. Amen? Weakness is not a shame. We already said it's a stage, it's a platform where God's glory can shine through. As long as we puffed up and think we have it all figured out, God can't work. Well, he can, but he won't. Because he can do anything he wants. He made everything. He made the universe, as Pastor James said, when you make your own universe, then you make your own rules. But it's a stage for God's glory to work. When we run out of fill in the blank, we run out of ideas, we run out of strength, we run out of patience, we run out of trying, that's when God steps in. Amen? When we run out, when we have nothing, remember he made something from nothing before? When we have nothing is when he steps in his power. When we break down, that's when God is getting ready for a breakthrough. That's when our breakthrough is just about to come. We can't give up. When we can't, God can. When we empty, God fills. And when we weak, that's when he is strong. Point number five. We do have the ability to boast in our infirmities. Again, that runs totally contrary to the culture in which we live. Paul shifts in the passage from praying for the removal of this thorn to praising God for revealing the sufficiency of his grace and the ability to take him through whatever situation he was going through. He said, I will boast in my infirmities. Now, I would venture to say that I don't think he said he will boast in his infirmities, or none of us would boast in whatever problems or whatever pain or whatever trials or tribulations we may be going through. Not because we love that pain, but because Paul was boast, he said he could boast because he loved the power of Christ resting on him and God's grace working through him. If weakness brings God closer, then weakness is a blessing. Paul learned that. If weakness brings God closer to us, then weakness is a blessing. If that thorn brings God closer to you, then that thorn is a blessing. His strength is shown when we struggle. Amen? When we struggle and reach out to him, he reveals his strength to us. When we're under pressure and we reach out to him, he reveals his presence to us. Remember, God promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes we feel far away from him. The thorn is not your enemy. It's your teacher. It's the thing that God is using to teach us what he wants us to know, to lead us into the direction that he wants us to go, to have the heart condition of dependency on him that he wants us to have. And some of us have to endure those thorns for a long time. Because some of us take a long time to learn a lesson. God is a patient God. He'll give us as long as we need. Because he wants nothing better than for us to walk in fellowship with him and strive to accomplish his purpose for our lives. I'm going to have the music ministry come up as we wrap up. The last point we're going to look at is God's grace is enough for where we are right now. You know, We may be thinking, oh, all this stuff sounds good, but right now I think I'm pretty okay. My thorn isn't too bad right now. Maybe when it gets desperate, then I'll look up to him. God's grace is sufficient for where we are right now. Whatever we're facing, whatever burden we may be carrying, whatever fill in the blank we may be fighting, whatever fill in the blank we may be struggling, we may be enduring, but it's a burden that's getting heavier and heavier. You know, a load may not be that heavy when you just lift it, but if you're carrying it for miles and miles, it tends to feel heavier and heavier the farther you carry it. Amen? And that's what some of us like to do. We hang on to those till they wear us down. But God's grace is sufficient for where we are right now. Like I said earlier, His grace is not barely enough. It's not almost enough. It's not just getting by enough. It's sufficient. It's more than enough. He doesn't just want us to barely make it. Our God is not a barely make it God. Brethren, He's an all-sufficient God. He's a God who couldn't find anyone more powerful than himself, so he said, I will swear by myself. That's the God we serve. And it's time for us to realize that his grace, which we have freely flowing, is enough. But just realizing that while it's good, we also have to surrender to him and allow that grace to manifest in our lives. Please. What a powerful reminder that our God is able. He's more than able to see us through whatever it is, whatever our thorn is this morning. God's grace is sufficient. He's more than able. And not only is he able, but he wants to do nothing more than see us through. We will make it in Jesus' name. We will make it by the grace of God that's at work in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that there is no thorn, there is no pain, there is no burden, there is no sickness, there is no habit, there is no hang-up that confounds you, Lord. And we thank you that when we're weak, that's when you're strong. Father, we declare ourselves weak this morning, that your strength, your grace, may have room to operate in our lives and take us from where we are to where you want us to be, to take us from who we are to who you want us to be. Father, we lift up those that are sick in our midst this morning, Lord. We speak healing from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, Lord, and everything in between. Because you're a mighty healer, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're already doing in our lives, Father. We pray, Lord, that as we surrender our power to your power, we surrender our strength to your unlimited strength, we surrender our infirmity to your fullness, Lord, that you will begin to shape us and mold us into what you want us to be, Lord. For that is your ultimate purpose, Lord. You saved us for a reason, Lord, and we just thank you this morning. Father, we pray for those that are seeking something special and extraordinary from you this day, Lord. I don't know who that is, but you're a God that makes the impossible possible. We speak to that situation right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.